So, let's see. So we were on Mishnah Hay. Did we? I'm not sure how we left it. Were we? Did we finish that? Was there something left? Oh, 1 second. Hang on 1 second. Hello? Hello? Yeah.
We did not finish.
What's
no,
the question
yeah,
last time?
The connection between the two.
Yeah, I can
give
the message.
You're
yeah.
either given or...
Right, Machlis
and
Erechetz.
Okay,
great.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. So, how do we leave it?
Josh has a question.
I'm sorry?
I think just in terms of what we left off on, I think we just left off on explaining the connection between Machlis and Erechetz, if there was one.
Mm-hmm. Between Machlis and Derech Eretz.
Yeah, in terms of why are they the ones that are lumped together, and what type of category are they perhaps part of?
Oh, I see. Okay. The person is that Machlis and Derech Eretz are the two things that either he's free of, or he's those things are imposed. Okay. So what do you think? Well, what was the general idea? The general idea that we had was that if a person, insofar as a person is involved in Lima Torah, in Talmud Torah, the other things in his life do not have the same impact on him. Was that we were going like in a natural progression, natural explanation, right? That if a person, well, we said insofar as the person making a living, the person's parnasa and obligations that he has in his life. They don't impact him as much because he's not as driven towards those things. Was that how we?
Yeah.
I forget exactly how we left it. Was that the?
Yeah, I believe so.
Right. What did we do? We did the Rambam. We did the Rambam. Right. That's right. Right. That's right. 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 Yeah, just take a look. If you take a look at the Rabbeinu Yonah, he says like this. He says, "Call him a kabbal alav al Torah ma'avir mimeno al malchus. Achar she'osa haTorah ikar u'malachto arai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yishmerehu mikol ra. V'yishmor es nafsho shelo yitztarich levato milima Torah. V'lo yitnenu b'lev hamelech halokeach nefashos la'asos malachto." Being not so me malechus hamalachim, lasos were so aviv shebashemayim, lasok bedivrei Sarah. Okay, so there it seems that he is explaining the memra that he will fall under a certain hashkacha, that God will assist him, right, in his pursuit of Torah. Right?
And he seems to be explaining Mekabal of Ol Torah as just making Torah Iker and Malacha Arai?
Yeah, he seems to say it has to do with... Right. In other words, the person that dedicates his time to learning, and Malacha, he does what he needs to do, but his main preoccupation is with the learning. Right? So if a person's main preoccupation is with Lima Torah, then God helps him. Right? God assists him. He receives assistance. Right? So that is... There is a idea that... Right, you have that idea. The Gemara talks about that. I think the Rambam also quotes it that the Derech Shadam Rotzel La. I don't know.
Really?
That's exactly. Yeah, how does it go?
Derech Shadam Rotzel Leilich Molichin or so.
Right. That's right. So it means that's part of the way the natural. Idea. It's part of the way the natural the world is set up, that a person's bechira, that events that happen to him will help assist him in his bechira. So if a person chooses a certain path, things happen. God set up the world in a way that assists a person in his bechira. So if a person chooses a certain path, the path of good, so opportunities will occur that would not have normally occurred for him. He'll encounter opportunities, good opportunities, to assist him in that path. Okay, so that seems to be, there's a hashkafa like that, that's part of the way God set up the law, the natural order. Okay, that you have the laws of nature, but you also have part of the laws of nature built in is this idea. Okay? So therefore, if a person pursues the Derech HaTorah, he's assisted. There's assistance. He'll have an easier time making a living, and he won't be interfered with by Gzeres HaMelech. Okay, that seems to be the way he's going. Okay, let's see. Then he says, "V'ol derech eretz shlo yitzarech lasos malacha harbe litzorech parnasaso uvema'at yaspik lo l'chdei chayav." Okay, ol derech eretz, he says. He says a person won't need to do malacha harbe litzarch parnasaso, but ma'at yaspik lo l'chdei chayav, and with a smaller amount he'll be satisfied. Kimaleches hatzarek misbarech benafsho semecha bechelko. Okay, so what is he saying here?
I'm not really sure what the last part was, but it just seems like he won't have to be Osek in Malacha.
Say that again?
I'm not sure what the last part was of Ki Malachas Hatzadik Misbareches, or Misbarech.
Ki Malachas Hatzadik Misbarech, V'nafsho Semecha Bechelko. It seems that the, okay, you mean what does that mean?
Yeah.
It seems he's saying that, well, v'nafsho semecha bechelko, let's just go with that, that his nefesh will be happy with what he has. Okay. Right? So there he seems to say that a person that is involved in Torah has a different attitude to his acquisitions. Right? In other words, the simcha of a person, the happiness of a person, depends upon his, apparently depends upon his attitude, the way he looks at his acquisitions, his possessions. So therefore, you could have a person that has tremendous possessions, but is not happy with them. And you could have a person that has very few and is very happy with it. So, I mean, that's an interesting idea. It's not really an idea that people consider because, right, usually a person wants to get the possessions, right? He's motivated to acquire the possessions, but he doesn't consider what effect the possession will have on him. You know what I mean? In other words, a person doesn't consider my attitude towards the possession. In other words, when I get this thing, will I be happy with it? If I'm not going to be happy with it, what's the use of getting it? A person just naturally assumes that getting the thing will translate into being happy with it. But if a person is not happy with it, then all the effort he spent to get that thing is a waste. And you find that very often, that people go to tremendous efforts to acquire things, and then, very shortly after, they're not happy with it. So you would think that it would be an important thing for a person, before he expends money and effort to acquire something, he should consider that possibility. Right, but people do not. They overlook that aspect of the enjoyment and the aspect of their perception of the thing. That the enjoyment is dependent to a large degree on their perception. So a person can get a new possession and be happy for a little while, and then after a while he gets tired of it and he's not happy with it. Okay? So the happiness is not dependent necessarily totally on the object. It's dependent on how he relates to the object. Okay? So that's a big thing. That's really something that people don't take into consideration. So really, so why is the the Rabbeinu Yonah saying that the person that's involved in Lima Torah, he's happier with the things he has? Okay, so apparently a person that's involved in Limud, his attitude it lends itself to being happy with what he has. Could we explain that a little more? In other words, why wouldn't we say, well, a person enjoys learning, he's happy with learning, but why does that necessarily determine his attitude towards his possessions? Why can't it be two different things? He likes learning, but now possessions is a different enjoyment. It's not the same enjoyment as learning, so he might be very happy with his learning, but when it comes to his possessions, he's not so happy.
I mean, maybe you could say that by nature of problem, like the material he's learning, he'll recognize that, like, this world isn't, like, what's really important. It's really important.
Just speak up a little.
So I said that maybe just because of the nature of what he's learning, he'll recognize that like this world isn't what's important, and so he'll he'll naturally have less care about success in this world.
Right. Okay. Good. That's right. I think we also touched on this last week. That's correct. In other words, a person that is not involved in learning, so his interests and his importance, what he attaches importance to, has to be on something. You can't have importance in nothing. So if the importance is not in learning, the importance has to be in terms of his possessions, his success, his physical existence. Okay? So if he attaches importance to the physical objects, then that's what's going to be he's looking forward to. Okay? And when he does that, he's constantly concerned with what his possessions are, and he quickly grows very tired of it. Okay, no matter how many possessions he has, it's, after a while, the possessions do not satisfy him. He needs new inputs, okay? New possessions, new achievements, okay? But the person that's involved in learning, he is not going to have this because his interests are elsewhere, and second of all, the learning is something that really he does consider important. Okay, and the possessions and all of these things, the importance really, the aspect of the importance factor is gone. He realizes these things are not that important. Okay, but there is, he realizes they're not important. The importance factor may be gone, but there is a certain enjoyment a person can get from his possessions. Okay, there's a realistic enjoyment. Okay, a person has furniture that he uses that give him a certain enjoyment. That's a realistic thing. It doesn't mean when a person says possessions, the Torah doesn't endorse saying that the material world is nothing. Possessions are worthless because then a person has emotions and a person needs certain physical material situation. Needs, the Chazal don't say a person shouldn't have nice things. You see, nice things make a person feel good. There's a certain comfort. A person could enjoy comforts, you see. But what makes the person dissatisfied is not that. It's not that aspect. Not because he doesn't enjoy comfort. But the what takes away the enjoyment is precisely the importance that he attaches it to. You see, that my possessions are a reflection on me. You see, that aspect really ruins the enjoyment. Because then he looks, well, let's see, what my neighbors, what are his possessions, how do they compare with me? If a person would not be interested in the egoistic aspect of the possessions, but just what the possessions really offer in reality, a person has comfortable living arrangements. It's very settling. It's something that he enjoys. It provides him with a certain peace of mind. That is something a person could enjoy. He could be sameach with. The reason why a person is not sameach is because he attaches a secondary factor onto these possessions, and that is that there's a certain importance. It lends a certain... it reflects on me. You see, that's already an additional... aspect to these possessions and to these achievements, which really just come from his own a super added thing. It's not really part of what possessions do for him. You see, once he adds that on, then he starts to lose the satisfaction. You see, then he becomes dissatisfied. So a person that's involved in learning could really have tremendous enjoyment from his physical possessions. He really can have the greatest enjoyment that the other guy can't have, because he could just enjoy the thing for its real utility. And he does not have to be worried about whether this possession is giving him some kind of personal importance, or whether this possession is people will look down upon or look up upon. He can get rid of that aspect of possessions, you see. And once he does that, he can enjoy the thing. You see, because there is a certain amount of enjoyment that a person can get from his physical, from the physical possessions, you see. So that's really a tremendous advantage that a person has if he's involved in limud, in limud Torah. He loses the need for that these things should supply him with a feeling of self-importance. You know what I mean? He loses that thing because he's sort of more, he has better things to think about. Okay, his self-importance, he doesn't need that feeling of self-importance because he's involved in limud Torah. Okay.
Does he get self-importance from anything?
What is that?
Does anything give him a sense of self-importance at that point, or he's just abandoned that requirement?
Well, I mean, I guess there are two levels. In other words, most people do need a feeling of importance. They need a feeling of fulfillment, you see? So therefore, when a person has learning, he can get that feeling of fulfillment, of self-importance, of self-worth, he can get from the learning. You see, which gives him a much greater feeling of self-worth, because he recognizes that the learning really is worth something. You see? So that is true, that a person, his self-worth, will have a different source. Okay? But really, the other thing is, you see, that's not really the main point. You see, because it's an interesting thing. I was speaking to somebody the other day, and I mean, it's a point that I'm sure you've heard, but it's when I went over the point, I really, it was an interesting thing, because I was mentioning to somebody that mitos, a person can work on his mitos. A person can work on if he gets angry, he can work on that mita to temper his anger. If a person has a certain he's stingy. I mean, all of the mitos a person could work on. But the question is, could a person work on the mita of gaiva? Okay. Could a person work on a mita of arrogance? Or the mita of... Yeah. Could a person work on that mita?
Why not?
Why not? Okay. Well, let me put it to you... Let me rephrase the question a little. Could a person work... a person could work... to become, become an even-tempered person. Could a person work to become humble?
Again, why not?
Why not? Could anybody think of a reason why a person cannot work to be humble?
Because
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Why does a person want to be humble?
Because they recognize that it's good.
What's that?
Because they recognize that it's good.
I can't hear you.
Just I said, because they recognize that it's good.
Okay. What was that again? A person?
Because they recognize that it's good.
They recognize that it's good. Okay. Okay. Okay, well, okay, that's a good answer. Let me tell you what I was thinking of, and maybe I'm wrong. I was thinking that a person can't work to be humble because why does he want to be humble? Isn't that motivated by a desire for the self? Doesn't he want to be humble because humility is a good thing, and that will put him on a greater level? So isn't that the desire for humility? Isn't that a self-aggrandizing motive? In other words, isn't that egotism? In other words, if I work on my anger, right? I can work on my anger because I want to improve myself. I want to be in a better state, right? But if I say I'm working on my so it's my egoistic, my desire to view myself as a greater person can motivate me to get rid of my anger, okay? And my desire to view myself as a greater person could motivate me to get rid of any bad meter. But could my desire to view myself as a greater person could never motivate me to humility? Because that means I'm not, that desire is the opposite of humility. In other words, that the desire, if a person desires humility because he views that as a great characteristic and he wants to be a great person, that itself is not humility. It would seem that you're using something that's the opposite of humility to become humble. So that already, if the person, as the person does things to attain humility, he is just further advancing his own ego. That was what I was grappling with. Okay. Hang on one second. Okay, I'm gonna go into my room.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? In other words, normally, if a person wants to perfect himself, he wants to improve himself. So that is a desire because he has a desire to be a better person. Okay? So that desire to be a better person, a person that's truly humble, okay, wouldn't the desire to be a better person be not part of humility? That's what I'm asking. In other words, is that a contradiction? If I'm motivated to improve myself, to that I should be on a higher level, okay, so isn't that something that a truly humble person would not be concerned with? That's the question.
I mean, I think even if someone's humble, they'd still want what's best for them. Right?
Okay, so that's the question. That's the question. No. In other words, a person that's humble, well, let me put the question in this way. Well, that's a good question. So you're saying, you know, what you're saying is like this. Well, does humility mean that I don't care about myself? That I simply don't have no care for myself? Well, then I guess we could ask this. In other words, who is a person that's, is that, does that play into humility? In other words, who is a person that is more humble? The person that cares more about himself or the person that cares less about himself? Let's put the question that way. In other words, right, if we say that, well, a person's humble, it means he doesn't care at all about himself. Let's say we don't know. So let's put the question this way. Who is more humble? The person that cares more about himself, what his level of perfection is, and how a person that wants to get rid of any imperfection in self, okay? So a person that's very concerned with that, or a person that's less concerned, who would you say is more humble?
Less.
Less. So it's a strange thing, really, because on first sight, you'd say, well, what do you mean? A person wants to do the right thing. He wants to remove any imperfection in himself, right? He wants to raise himself to a higher level. You say, hey, that's a good thing, right? But on the other hand, you might say that a person that's not as concerned with that, you might say he's, in a sense, more humble because he doesn't concern himself so much with himself. So that's a strange type of a paradox, isn't it?
Can you repeat it?
Well, what I'm saying is like this. that you have two people. One person is very concerned with his own perfection. He has very good motivations, but he wants to, you know, when he sees an imperfection in himself, he wants to work on it. He wants to improve himself because he wants what's good. Okay, right. He wants what's good for himself, which is very good. But the question would be like this. You have two people. One person is very concerned with himself and with improving himself and doing the right things that will raise himself to a higher level. And the other person is not as concerned with that. Okay, his concern is less. So the question would be, is there a difference between the two people in the area of humility? Would you say that the person that's very concerned with improving himself is not as humble as a person who's not so concerned? If he has an imperfection, he's not as concerned. He would like to improve himself, but his desire to improve himself is not as great. Like, let's say, I would say, just to you know, round out the picture, you have a person that is more concerned with maybe helping others. Okay, and his own imperfections, he pushes, you know, not that he doesn't want to improve himself, but he's happy to help others too. Whereas the other person is more, he wants to help others, but he's more concerned with self-improvement. Okay, so who would you say has more humility? The person that's more concerned with himself or less concerned with himself?
It's definitely the second person.
So you say the person that's less concerned with himself, right? So concern with the self would seem to be at odds in some respect. It seems to be contrary to the idea of humility. And when we think of a humble person, the idea of humility would seem to have to do with how much the person thinks about himself. And if you find a person that really never is thinking too much about himself, you would attribute a certain aspect of humility to that. So therefore, that would seem to be a strange paradox, because you would say Well, a person, humility is a good thing. We all agree it's a good thing. And therefore, a person wants a good thing. So therefore, a person should want to be humble. But on the other hand, you would say, well, if a person wants that, then that results from the part of him which is not humble, which is thinking about himself and concerned about his standing and his level, his perfection, his internal nature. He's thinking about himself. So it would seem a little paradoxical. Because if a person is striving for humility, it would show he's lacking humility. Insofar as he's striving, he's somebody that's more concerned with himself. And insofar as a person doesn't give a thought about humility, does not run after humility, you'd say, oh, obviously the guy is not really thinking too much about himself. He's concerned elsewhere. He's not walking around all day thinking, well, am I humble or am I not humble? It simply doesn't occur to him. You'd say that type of person is like he's an unassuming person. He's not too worried about whether how he looks at himself. So that's a paradoxical thing. Because the moment a person tries to be humble, that itself is an expression of his self-interest. And the moment a person does not care about humility, That would seem to be the greatest expression of humility.
Right.
So that it would seem to be totally a paradoxical situation, where the greatest thing that a person could have, if he wants it, that's it. You are the furthest away, and if you don't care about it, oh, you must even have it. What kind of a... Right?
Yep.
I mean, wouldn't it just matter what your motivation was for the humility, then?
What's that?
So wouldn't it matter, then, what your motivation is?
For the humility?
Yeah.
Okay.
Meaning a person who wants humility for the self, well, as we see, that seems to be... contrary to what humility is.
Okay.
But if they want humility, perhaps, let's say, in order to understand their relationship with the Creator, then
okay.
That's probably more in line with what humility actually is.
Okay.
Can you clarify what that means?
Yeah.
So we've been saying what humility is. It's that humility is not caring so much about yourself.
Well, that's a result of humility.
So what's humility then?
What is humility?
Okay. Say that again. What?
How have you been using the word humility? I was under the impression that we're using it to mean not thinking so much about yourself.
Well. I mean, yeah, we're sort of giving like characteristics of how we'd identify a humble person. We don't necessarily have it pinned down, but we're trying to use things that would be indicators of humility. And, right, so we're saying humility, you would say a person that thinks more about himself is less humble. So a person that thinks less about himself is more humble. I mean, it might not be the essence of humility, but it would seem that the person thinking about himself all day, we wouldn't call him a humble person. Right? So the question is, how could a person ever desire humility? The moment he desires humility, it means he's thinking about himself. And if a person doesn't desire humility, so then how's he going to get it? Okay, so somebody suggested that maybe it depends why you want the humility. If you want the humility for humility's sake, or so people should say, hey, this guy's a humble guy. So then that's no good. That shows he's not humble. He just wants to look humble. So people will compliment him. But if he wants to be humble so that he could relate to God better, then that would be okay. That would be an escape from the paradox. Okay. So is that true? Is that true? Would we avoid the paradox if we say, well, it depends on why you want to be humble.
Yeah, I think we get out of it.
You think we get out of it? Okay. Anybody else? Okay, so let me ask you this. Let's say I return to my original question. Okay, about who is more humble? Okay? Who is the more humble person? Is it a person that is concerned with himself on a, right? Or a person that's less concerned? More concerned or less concerned? So we say less concerned. Right? He thinks about himself less. Mm-hmm. Now, therefore, when the person wants humility for another purpose, so it's true he doesn't want humility for its own sake, right? He wants it because he wants to relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's true. Okay, but how does that help us, really? Because he wants the humility. The question was, he wants this thing because he's concerned for himself. So now we're saying, no, he wants it because of another desire. But that desire also, he wants to be able to get God, get the knowledge of God. He wants his right? He wants to relate to God. Okay? But isn't that also, couldn't I argue that that also is a self, a selfish desire? He wants it because it's good. Oh, so he wants the things that are good for himself. Now, that means he's concerned with himself. So, would a person, could there be a more humble person who's simply not worried about himself? With regard to humility, with regard to knowing God, with regard to anything, he is not into himself. Would that be less humble or more humble than this guy?
I mean, if you go as generally as what you're saying, then a person can never do anything that he doesn't want to do. So, the questions would kind of be a moot point because a person can never do. A person can never be less involved in himself because he's always going to be doing something that he wants to do.
That's right. So therefore, how could the guy ever try to become humble?
I'm saying,
in other words, like this. If a person, let's say a person wants to be able to try to relate to God. Well, why does he want that? I mean, why did he pick that particular thing that he wants to be able? I mean, who is he? Maybe he's not able. Right? I mean, in other words, the fact that he wants these things, it's because he's looking at himself. Hey, these are good things. I want to get them, and I want to have this good. For who? For myself. Right? I want to be able to be great, great thing to have knowledge of God. I want that. Well, and who do you want it for? You want it for somebody else? Would you be just as happy if the other guy got it? Well, if so, okay. So then perhaps you're correct. But if you'd rather have it for yourself, right? So yeah, these things are good, and I want to get them, right? But if another person would have it, I wouldn't be as happy. I mean, I might be happy, but I wouldn't be as happy if the other guy got all the humility and all of the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I wouldn't be quite as excited, right? So, wouldn't that be a certain deficiency in humility? Unless you say, I would say, no, I'm just as happy that that guy should get it. I'll help him get all those things. And I don't care about it. You say, yeah, that's really a humble guy. Mm-hmm. You'd say he might be an idiot. Well, what is the guy doing this for? But he certainly is thinking about himself less than the guy who's running after humility for the sake of running after God. And right? I mean, I'm just saying, you know, you can answer, you can give answers, but I'm just saying the problem seems to be that anything a guy does is for himself. Now, once it's for himself, how could a guy ever try to get humility? Because he's going after himself. So the guy, so you say, well, you know, he doesn't want it just to be a big shot, you know. He wants it for something else. Okay, I mean, look, the guy who wants it to be a big shot, so that's what he enjoys. I mean, the point is everybody is really operating for their own self-interest. So anything the guy does, he's doing to help himself. So when the guy's running after humility for any reason, whatever the reason is, he's doing it for himself. So the question is that a lack of humility? Now maybe you'll tell me, well, okay, no person could be humble because it's just an impossibility. Everything a person does has to be for himself ultimately. Okay, so maybe that's true. But I'm just saying there is, right? It seems somewhat of a difficult point. Like, it's not totally smooth. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what would you suggest?
It's not a lack of humility to care about oneself.
Say that again?
I said it's not a lack of humility to care about oneself. It would be a lack of humility to prioritize oneself, but it's not a lack of humility to care about oneself. It's like it's like what we say in the first paragraph of I think it's Mishnah Yud Daled. In Inani Li Mi Li.
Right. That's right. Okay, you could say that, but that's pursuing the same path. Right? You're pursuing the same path. That, now, it depends why he cares about himself or what he cares about. But I don't think that that's really going to be a total answer, because you're still going to be, your mind is still going to be a little bit dissatisfied. There's still a little something that's not smooth. I worry about myself, okay? And who's the humbler person? The person who's more worried or less worried? I mean, you're still going to have to face that question. Who's more humble? The person that's more worried or less worried? Oh, less worried, okay?
Well, based on what you said, a person can't be more or less worried about themselves, because every single action a person does, they're doing for because they want to, just by nature of how people work. So
okay.
Every person will be exactly equal in that, because every single action a person does is because they want it. And so there's no more or less worried about the self according to how you're saying it.
Okay, well, I agree that's something we can analyze, but we can't analyze everything at once. So we have to deal with the situation as it is. Now, the question is there such a thing as a person being more or less worried about himself? I mean, we have to answer that question simply based on our simple observation. Okay, so when I asked you the question to begin with, right, nobody said, well, what do you mean, more or less worried? Obviously, everybody said, yeah, the less worried guy. So, obviously, there is a concept in our mind of person being more concerned with herself and less concerned. Whatever that means, that's a separate question you're bringing up. Well, how do you have more or less? Everybody does everything for himself. Okay, but we have to think of one subject, one question at a time. Okay, so we're working with that premise, that what we've observed and what we call more word and less word, we have to assume that. Okay?
Yeah, so, I'm thinking based on the
question is how you're going to get out of that question. So you can't just, you know what I mean? You can't say, well, humility has nothing to do with being worried about yourself because everybody's equally worried. Well, then, I don't think we've gone too far if we resort to that. Then we're just removing the question by, we're answering the question by just removing. There's no question.
Well, I'm saying based on the, based on the scope of how you're defining worried about oneself, then that by nature includes everything that person does, and if you but if you don't like say that worried about yourself,
okay. Well, I understand what you're saying. Okay, but let me give you a different approach, okay? And you see what you think, okay?
Uh-huh.
The other way of approaching this question, okay, is to say that paradox shows you exactly that is the case, exactly what we are saying. In other words, a person cannot, because of that paradox, it shows you the person absolutely cannot strive for humility. It's an inherently impossible thing. No man can pursue humility. It's an impossibility. We cannot define that as a pursuit of humility. If a person pursues humility, he's pursuing the exact opposite goal. It's an impossibility. A person cannot intentionally pursue humility. It's impossible. Because he is getting further from humility by pursuing it. It's an absolute impossibility. That's what you must say. If you think over the paradox, you'll see that it's clearly telling you that a person can't do that. There's no way a person can actively pursue humility. Because if you would say such a thing, you'd have to say that the guy that pursues it more is greater than the guy that pursues it less. But yet, we'd have a problem. Well, who is more humble? The guy that's pursuing humility less or more? It would seem, if you look at any case, you'd say that a guy that's running after humility with vigor and vim, well, you'd start to think, huh, how humble is he? Okay, so you just think it over. If you think over the paradox, you'll see that clearly the answer to the paradox is that it is impossible to run after humility. That is a total impossibility. That is a pursuit of ego. You see? That's the first thing you have to say. Okay? So therefore, if that's the case, I mean, do you see that? If that's the case, right, so how does a person ever become humble?
It would just have to be a result of a different pursuit.
That's right. A person just becomes humble because of something else. You see, the humility is just the natural result. He's not running after. You see, it's something that happens. You see? It has to be something that happens. It's something that happens when a person stops caring about himself. Now, when I say stops caring about himself, I mean, I don't mean that, you know, we have to, I don't want to get involved in this kind of circular, you know, an endless thing. I don't mean he's like a depressed person, he doesn't care about anything. You see, he does care about things, but the things are not himself. You see, he cares about, it's a natural result. It means to say that once a person starts going into the area of chachma, he starts to discover that his original view of himself is not accurate. And there is something that is really exciting in life, and it's not, has nothing to do with him, and it's something that he pursues Chachma, all of a sudden he just is not, he starts to lose his former concern and all of the care and all of the interest and the desire for the self starts to slowly reduce as a natural thing. Not because he's trying to do it, but because he's interested in Chachma, he starts to just naturally be drawn to that area. And not because he even wants to be a Chacham, and not because he necessarily wants to have this or that piece of knowledge. It's not his pursuit, isn't, he's not really pursuing anything. He's just following his natural desire. And his natural desire leads him to an interest in ideas. He just finds it very amusing. You see? And as the person pursues that path, this the interest in the self naturally disappears because the self is a very boring subject, and it's only very interesting to a person that has nothing else to do. I mean, just to put it in a, you know, I don't mean this in an absolute, in a relative sense. I'm just saying to put it in an absolute, in black and white terms, okay? Of course, there's gradations, but the point is that the self is really boring. And that's why a person becomes humble, because it's not a pursuit. It's a pursuit of something else. And humility is just a natural thing. You see? But no person could pursue humility. It's impossible. Because the moment you pursue it, it means you want to be something. Oh, it means you're worried about yourself and you find yourself very interesting. You know what I mean? Now, yourself is not really interesting, and you wouldn't realize that if you had something better to do. So no person that's really gaining humility even thinks about it and really has any very big interest in whether he's humble or not. Because, again, if he's thinking, hey, I'm a humble guy, oh, well, what are you thinking about that? So that's why, like the Torah says, that Moshe was the Anav Mikolad, okay? But he may not have really been, not may have, it wasn't something that he was really too focused on, you know. I would say that, I was going to say he may not have known it, but I wouldn't say that only because he knows it as a phenomenon. You know, he knows that a person has this kind of knowledge has to be the most honor possible. But he doesn't know it in a personal way, like, hey, I'm an honor. You know what I mean? But he knows it because his knowledge would tell him that any person on with this type of knowledge would have to be lacking in concern for the self. But he looks at himself like an object, like anything else. You see?
So,
So
then, based on what you're saying, if Moshe Rabbeinu had an imperfection, he wouldn't specifically want to fix it?
Okay, that's a good question. Good question. Good question. Okay. Well, what do you think about this? Okay, before we get to that question, okay, because will that be a question that will put any doubt, that will, you know, is that a question that would somehow diminish this answer? Or that's a question, okay, we got to think about that. We have to take that question up. But will that question have any bearing on this? In other words, what do you think about this as an answer to the original question? You see, as an answer to the paradox, okay, and as something that would be a logical approach to what Anubis really is. You see, what do you think about the answer? I mean, I'm not looking for recognition. I just want to, I'm not saying, what do you think about the answer? Like, hey,
yeah.
What I'm saying is, I want you to think whether this answer makes sense and what the, you know what I mean? Is this something that makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, it just doesn't seem to me like it's impossible to want to pursue humility for a non-arrogant reason.
Okay, so we have, you know, I'll have to explain to you, and as that we have to discuss. And then that's a discussion. In other words, the answer is only as good as the question. Let's put it down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if the question is not a question, it's not an answer. You know what I mean? But I'm saying that I'm trying to answer what I consider a paradox, a real question. You're having as your question is that you're not convinced of the paradox. Okay, so that we have to discuss. But the answer is not going to be really meaningful. And the answer is meaningful insofar as this is a real paradox.
Yeah.
Okay. But if the paradox is a question, so then we have to get back to that. Okay? But that's what I think, that if you recognize that the paradox is absolute, then I think that this is, then you have to say this, that nobody can intentionally run after this thing, but it's a natural result of another pursuit.
Yeah.
You see, which that other pursuit may be selfish, may start out selfish. Why does, you see, now we can show why. Well, what do you mean? Somebody asked, how do we get to anything? You have some selfish interest, you see? So now we can answer that, because that's exactly right. Why does a person start off learning self-interest? I mean, nobody can do anything. That everybody wants what's good for himself. You see, so every person always starts off with a desire to do the best thing for himself. It's impossible otherwise, you see. But that is the answer. The answer is there are certain pursuits that start out for the self and end up self-effacing, end up removing the self, you see? So Chochmah is one of those things, because Chochmah is something a person starts off because he's excited, he loves it, he this tremendous desire for the self to gain knowledge, you see? But once as he pursues it, he starts to be, so to speak, what he's in love with is less the self and more the knowledge. Now, a person has to be in love with something. A person has to be motivated by something. You see, now, a person starts off in love, so to speak, with the self. I'm the most important thing in the world. But he could find other things in life, but once he pursues those things, he all of a sudden falls in love with that thing. Now, if he does that, then it's that thing he's after. You see?
Yeah.
So that's it.
Okay, so, I guess, so my question would be, can a person say, I'm going to pursue whatever is the good, and,
right.
And the good is for me to not, to not be... The good is for me to be humble, and
right.
And like I would like if I could make other people humble, I would do that. But just in terms of like the way that people are, you can't change other people.
Okay.
Would you say that's motivated by arrogance?
Okay. Well, you know, arrogance is a degree. Is, you know, a person might not say arrogance because arrogance means where the concern for the self is at an extreme, you see, at an extreme. So I would say if a person is preoccupied with, if you want to put it on a plane with arrogance, I would say that if a person is preoccupied with becoming humble to the exclusion of everything else, I would say, yes, that's arrogance. You see, because arrogance is an extreme concern over his own self-worth. And therefore, if he's extremely preoccupied with anivus, I would say that's arrogance. If he's not extremely preoccupied, if he's moderately occupied, I wouldn't call it arrogance, but I would still call it a desire for self, a kind of self-worth. See, he wants to be a certain kind of person.
How is that desire for self-worth if what he's pursuing is perfection in the world and in a practical
not
sense?
Not the world. He's pursuing perfection in himself.
No,
in
he says
wants,
yeah. Like his reasoning is that like this thing is objectively good for people for the world, for people to be humble, and. If he could make everyone humble, he would. But in a practical sense, he can't.
Okay.
And the only only person he can really change is himself, and so he's pursuing his own humility. How is that motivated by the self?
Well, let's put it this way. If you are describing a type of being that would follow that description, I might be able to agree with you. But I think that is not, an accurate description. In other words, what you're saying is that if there was a person that what his sole desire was the idea of humility in the universe, and he would be just as happy making somebody else humble and leaving himself not humble, and if he could help 500 people be humble, and yet he would not partake of humility at all, and he would be just as happy, but the only thing is he's working on himself first because he realizes he can't, that it's difficult for him to do other people. I mean, if there was a creature like that, then possibly I would agree with you, but I don't think that that's a description of people. I don't think that people come up with a decision that humility is the most important thing for others, and therefore I can't, you know what I mean? I think a person perceives humility is a good thing, and I want, you see, even if you'd say other people, the point is, when you say humility is a good thing and I want a good thing, what you're saying is that I want to be a certain kind of person. That's what you're saying. I want to be a certain kind of person. I mean, no matter what you say, even if you want others to be a certain kind of person, it doesn't matter. It means you want to be a certain kind of person. You see? Or you want others to be a certain kind of person. Now, that is a different kind of interest than a person that just naturally realizes he's nobody. You see, that's a different kind of pursuit. That's all I'm saying. In other words, if a guy has a pursuit, I want to be a certain kind of person, and that kind of person is a perfected person. That's, even though that might be a very noble thing, I want to be a perfected person, you see, but that's a different kind of want than when a person is humble because he realizes he's nobody. You see? That's a different recognition. So I'm calling the recognition that I realize I'm nobody because I see I'm nothing. You see? And that's just something that occurs to me. That in reality, it's an observation. I'm nothing. That is a different kind of idea. That I'm calling humility. Whereas a person that is not saying I'm nothing, he is saying I want to be X. I'm calling that, I'm differentiating between that and humility. Because I'm saying humility means where a person realizes he's nothing, he has a certain recognition. And the other thing where a person wants to be humble, doesn't result from a recognition. That results from a desire to be something. Now, it could be that something is a great thing, it's a good idea, it's a bad idea, I don't care, but he wants to be something. You see, so it doesn't matter if he wants to be something, he wants other people to be something, it doesn't matter. But he wants to be something. You see, now the moment a person wants to be something, you cannot say that he is as humble as a guy who realizes he's nothing. I mean, there's just, you cannot equate those two things. So you don't have to call it arrogance. You could use any term you want. And you could even call it humility. I don't care. But it's not the concept of humility that the other concept is.
Isn't that just the difference between wanting humility and attaining humility?
What's that?
Isn't that just the difference between wanting humility and attaining humility?
No. Because if I want humility, that means I want to be something. Now, humility is where a person realizes he's nothing. So you can't say that a person that wants to be something has anything in common with the person that realizes he's nothing. Because the person that wants to be something is on the wrong track. Because he's assuming he's something. He is assuming he is something of value. Now, the moment he does that, he's on the same track as the most arrogant guy in the world. He might not be as arrogant. He might be less arrogant, or he might even be more arrogant. But the point is like this, that arrogance stems from the basic underlying premise that man is something of value. That is the premise of any type of arrogance, any type of good feeling about yourself, whatever it is. You have to start off with the premise that man is something of value. You see? Now, that is the premise. There's no other way around it. You see, if I want to be something, it means I'm considering myself something of value. Right? Now, your argument was, there was an argument that, oh, a person can't function if he doesn't think he's something of value. Not true.
No, that's not what I was saying.
What's that?
That's not what I was saying.
Person has to have a motivation, has to consider himself something.
No, I wasn't saying that.
Okay, well, fine. So then if that's the case, then you see clearly that if a person pursues arrogance, he is absolutely on the opposite extreme of arrogance, because opposite extreme of humility, because humility means that the man is nothing. I realize when I look at the world and Chachma of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I realize I am zero. Okay? Now, that cannot be the premise of a person that wants to be something. It's impossible. It's an absolute impossibility. Now, if a person wants to be humble, his premise is that he wants to be something. Now, that itself is exactly the opposite extreme of humility.
I mean,
How, in other words, can you explain any other way of looking at that?
Yeah, he says, a person says, I have this, I have this imperfection that I think I'm something, and intellectually I know.
As soon as you say you have imperfections, you're assuming you're something.
You say I have an issue. I have an issue that I think I'm something.
And you so,
what? Person says I have an issue that I think I'm something.
You think of what?
That I think I'm something.
Okay.
And, intellectually, I know that I'm not. And so, I want to remove that, characteristic of myself.
I want to remove... Why?
Because...
Why do you want to do that?
Because I recognize that that's the good.
You're just using a word. You recognize that that's the good for who? For you?
For, based on the structure of the world and in terms of what's actually true.
Well, who's it good for? It has to be good for somebody. It's good for God, it's good for you, it's good for somebody else.
Good for the world.
The world, and the world is made up of people?
Yeah.
And the people have value?
No.
No? Oh, so then what do I care? what type of good is there if there's no value?
Are you saying that there isn't anything that is the good or not the good?
Well, I mean, that is, if you're saying that man is nothing, then that's it. I mean, think it over. You got to think it over, okay? I mean, it's, think it over.
So based on what you're saying, I have a question.
I guess if you want to look at it in an easier way, you could say, who is more humble, the person who thinks man has greater value or less value? So you're going to say the man who thinks less value. So who is more concerned with that man should have good, the person that thinks man is a valuable thing or the person that thinks man is less valuable? Well, clearly the person that thinks man is more valuable will think it's more valuable to pursue that good for man. So a person that's less concerned with pursuing the good must have a lower opinion of man. Right? Now, who's the greater humble person? The person that has a lower opinion of man or a greater opinion? I mean, just think about it. You'll see it is impossible. I mean, I'm just saying. It's impossible to avoid this paradox.
So
if you just keep going on this path, okay?
I have a question for you.
If you have further questions, I'll be happy to. But, you know, sometimes you have to think over an idea, and then you know what I'm saying? Before you pursue further, yeah. Okay?
Okay. Oh, I have a question for you. Is there any sort of objective good to following the Torah, based on what you're saying?
Absolutely.
I'm saying, besides for the fact that you personally will receive benefits.
What's that?
I said, besides for the fact that you personally will receive benefits.
Besides from the fact that I will receive benefits, is there any purpose for what? For pursuing the Torah?
Yeah. Or is it just an assessment of... It's just an assessment of personal pleasures because nothing's good anyway.
You asked me the question before. Why should a person do these things? Okay, that's a separate discussion. In other words, you know what I mean? So now your question is, if we're saying man's an awful, so then why should I do anything?
Well, your argument is predicated on that that there isn't an objective good to recognize.
No, that's not my argument. That's not my argument. My argument is all of the steps that you agreed to. In other words, I'm not saying anything that you disagreed with. I'm just now drawing a conclusion that you don't agree with. In other words, my question to you was, in each step, who is more humble, who's less humble? And in each case, you told me the guy who considers man lower is more humble. So I'm just following that line of reasoning. Now the question is, if we should say that man is really nothing, so then what is the whole purpose of this? Why did God create man? Why do we have any of this? That's a good question. I'm not saying that's not a good question. I am just saying, if you just follow the argument, as it seems clear, I don't see how you're going to answer it. You're going to say a guy that's more concerned with man and considers man greater is more humble. You got to think it over, because otherwise, you know what I'm saying? I'm just following, unless you could answer any of those questions differently, I don't see how you're going to come to a different conclusion. Unless you're going to tell me a guy that's running after humility more with greater strength is more humble than the guy who's not so concerned with humility. I mean, I don't see how you're going to answer any of those questions. But think about it, okay, and then come back to me and we can discuss it further, okay?
All right, Marcus. Small question. I walked out for a couple of minutes, so I probably missed this. What do you mean by value exactly, when you said that man is something of value?
Man is something of value?
Yeah.
Well, I mean like, you know, like Moshe Rabbeinu said,
Ma'anu, or something like that? Yeah.
Right. I mean, in other words, that a person that's a chacham, and that the less knowledge a person has, man seems more important to him. Man's life, society, civilization, these are all very central things. You know, he has a constant in his mind of things that are precious, that are important. Mm-hmm. And the less knowledge a man has, there's a correlation that he's more impressed and more attaches value to the human situation. And the more knowledge a person gains, he loses respect and loses significance in his mind of what's going on in this world. He says, well, man is just, you know, alive here for a few minutes versus the entire universe. He's like a nothing. So that's what I mean. You know what I mean? The estimation of the importance of this creation. Like a person would look at an ant. He's not say, well, look at this. This is an amazing. You know what I mean? An ant is nothing. So, in that sense.
Right. Okay, thanks. That clarifies it.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Thanks. That clarifies it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So, I mean, let's say when Moshe Rabbeinu was, like, seemingly motivated to, like, lead the Jews and to do what was best for, let's say, like, being Mepharsim Shem Hashem, right? He's like, Lama Yomu Mitzrayim, he seems to have been motivated, Moshe Rabbeinu seems to have been motivated by something. So, I mean, either you'd say that he was motivated by some lack of humility, or there was some objective good, like, objective reason that wasn't tied to a lack of humility that was motivating him, to try to promote the good in other people.
Right, yeah, no, clearly, because that was God's plan, and his avas Hashem, that was the most important thing, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, his plan of reality, love of a Kadosh Baruch Hu,
so can a person not
reality would be diminished, right?
So can a person not be motivated to pursue humility because of avas Hashem?
No, it's impossible. Person to be not humble and have avas Hashem, that's not possible. I mean, you have to be crazy. I mean, it would be like saying a mosquito is the most important thing in the world. I mean, a person who has any kind of perspective would say, well, this is nothing. So now his perspective is like our perspective. What we would look at an ant, right? We'd say, well, if you saw a person that was concerned his whole life with the perfection of ants, you'd say, this guy's crazy. Well, if there's a person that's concerned with the perfection of man, for man's sake, you'd say, this guy's crazy. And he's like an ant. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, we're nothing. We're like dust. And yet he's so concerned. Oh, this is just a piece of dust. So what are you so concerned about? Right? So he's not concerned for man, because man's nothing. But he's concerned with God's plan. Because it's God's plan, he wants to be in line with God. It's God's plan. But the idea of a man is like the idea of an ant. So you want to spend your life worrying about an ant, it doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't make sense because to you it's of no value, right? Now, man to us is very important because that's our perception. But if a person really had the knowledge of Moshe Rabbeinu, he would be very, extremely disinterested in whether this or that person is an honor. It would mean nothing. He's perfect, he's not perfect. You know, it's meaningless. But we can't understand that. We can't even operate on that framework because we're not on that level. But that doesn't prevent us from seeing the idea.
Yeah, but you know, so then,
person that has that idea has different motivations. His motivations we can't even hardly relate to. But he has different motivations. And these motivations are more powerful than our motivations. We want to help people, but that type of motivation is not a real powerful motivation. It goes away pretty quickly as soon as it becomes too much trouble to help people. But Moshe Rabbeinu, his motivation was totally different. It had nothing to do with himself and nothing to do with how important people are. It was a totally different motivation. And that motivation must be extremely powerful. The guy's willing to give up his life that this should happen. It's not our type of motivation, that I can tell you. See, now a person with that kind of motivation is not concerned with Anivus one iota. He's not even thinking of himself. He's a piece of dust. Why would he think about himself?
So, let's say Moshe Rabbeinu. So, if let's say he was slightly lacking humility,
Let's say he was lacking humility, yeah.
Yeah, like slightly. Not like.
Okay.
So he would have almost the same perspective, right? And so, presumably, his rectification of his issue would be motivated by Avas Hashem, right?
Well, if he's not humble, then he'll be motivated by himself.
I said he's
selfish.
He's. I'm thinking he's like slightly less humble, only slightly.
Okay, well, as far as he's not humble, he has self-motivation. So far as he is, he doesn't have. So it would be a combination of two things. We have a combination of two things. We have some Avas Hashem. We're concerned with the ideas, right, that God, the system that God put in place. I mean, we have some Avas Hashem. It's just not very great.
Yeah, also, yeah, but, well, my point is that a person can be motivated, a person is not just motivated by a lack of, his own self-estimation to, you know, to pursue humility. A person can also, people have multiple different factors that would drive them to, let's say, to pursue humility.
You have to think it over, because you're saying man is a combination of the self and an outside interest. So, insofar as it's the self, right, he's gonna try to be humble, but he won't be humble. Insofar as outside the self, he's not going to try to be humble. You know what I mean? It's not going to make a difference. What you're saying, it's just two people. You're talking about just two different elements, and each element you have to deal with differently. So if he's, insofar as he has Avas Hashem, he is not going to pursue humility because he doesn't care about himself. Insofar as he cares about himself, if he tries to pursue humility, he's being arrogant. There's no... That's it.
Okay, so... would you say that Moshe Rabbeinu would not try to, pursue, fixing a small flaw that he had?
Well, if he did, then it would either be because he's worried about himself, or insofar as it would help God's plan.
But then, so... For someone else, can they not be pursuing humility because it will be helping God's plan?
Could a person pursue humility because it would be helping God's plan?
Yeah. It'll help them keep the mitzvot and being mafar same shem as him.
Right.
Be kiddush
Hashem. That's possible.
Yeah.
That's possible. Right. If a person has no interest in himself, he has no concern for himself, he's only concerned with God, then he'd have to think about himself for the sake of God. Yeah, that would be a different kind of pursuit. That's correct. But no person... But the point is like this. If he's not humble, right, then he wouldn't be on that level. I mean, that would be a difficult thing. Then that would mean that the part of him that's not humble is going to now become... Yeah, I don't think that's right. I think that would be... I don't know that that would be a plan, because if he has a part of him that's not humble, so then it means that he's corrupting that part of him. Because then he's running after humility for two reasons. One is a good reason, one is a bad reason. Now, you can't do a good thing, you can't have a bad reason, because now you're corrupting yourself. See, so I would say he would say that's not a good plan. He wouldn't do it. He would say, listen, I can't, I'm not on the level. Because if I do that, I'm going to corrupt myself. And I'm going to feel good that I'm humble. And now I'm going to defeat the whole purpose. So he couldn't do it.
How are you corrupting yourself?
I'm sorry?
I said, how are you corrupting?
You're corrupting yourself because there's a part of him that wants that, right? Oh, now that part of him is being satisfied. Oh, now he's going to be happy with that he's humble. Now he's not humble anymore. Now he's less humble.
I mean,
right? He's happy that he's humble. Presumably. Oh, you're happy that you're humble? Ah, oh, that's not too humble.
I mean, presumably, assuming he makes some progress, because, because otherwise... What do you say?
You can't corrupt yourself to, that's not progress, corrupting yourself. Self-corruption is not progress.
Let's say I'm not sure what you mean. If let's say a person who has both motivations works on himself to try to become more humble, and and he becomes, you know, like, he becomes less motivated by the self and more motivated by, let's say, opposition. And he is happy about that.
He's not humble.
Then, are you saying that humility is an all or nothing thing?
No, I'm saying as far as he's happy, he's not humble.
Yeah, I'm not saying the happiness is good, but is the, is it purposeless to even do that because having that moment of satisfaction?
It's purposeless to do it, right, because then he's, a humble person would not do that. I mean, I just don't see how. You know what I mean?
He still has a partial lack. And that's why, and that partial lack is why he has that happiness. Is that a stool of the entire process?
He has a partial lack. So now he's going to be, that's not going to be, I don't see, I just don't see it. If he has a defect, so now he's catering to that defect.
What was the case here?
A person is somewhat lacking.
Okay, think about it. I don't know. Is this going to be, the answer to this question, is this going to be, a decisive issue? I don't know. It just doesn't, It seems, see if the thing makes sense. But if it doesn't make sense, that's fine. I'm not saying that. I mean, to me, it makes sense. If you don't think it makes sense, that's fine. I'm not insulted, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, maybe I'm just saying. To me, it makes sense. That's all.
Okay.
You could think about it. If you don't feel that you feel there's something missing, that's fine. I mean, we don't have to. Maybe a few years from now, I'll see what you're trying to say. Could be.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a point. I just don't see it. But mm-hmm. I'm just, this is my approach. It's not necessarily. It doesn't have to be decisive. It's an approach.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll see you at what time? 1?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
Okay. Shkosh. Speak to you later.
Maybe Shabbos.
Yep. Okay, good Shabbos.